And Bob Butcher and Mary Montgomery are now going to come and read our scripture readings to us, firstly from Ephesians chapter 1 and then from Luke chapter 14.
Like Matt said, the reading is from Luke chapter 14, verses 15 to 24, and it's called the parable of the great feast. When one of the men sitting at table heard this, he said to Jesus, "How happy are those who will sit down at the feet in will sit down at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus said to him, "There was once a man who was given a great feast to which he invited many people. When it was time for the feast, he sent his servant to tell his guests, 'Come, everything is ready.' But they all began, one after the other, to make excuses. The first one told the servant, 'I have bought a field. I must go and look at it. Please accept my apologies.' Another one said, 'I have bought 5 pairs of oxen and am on my way to try them out. Please accept my apologies.' And another one said, 'I have just got married, and for that reason, I cannot come.' The servant went back and told all this to his master. The master was furious and said to his servant, 'Hurry out to the streets and alleys of the town and bring back the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' Soon the servant said, 'Your order has been carried out, sir, but there's room for more.' So the master said to his servant, 'Go out to the country roads and lanes and make people come in so that my house will be full. I tell you all that none of those who were invited will taste my dinner.'"
The second reading is from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 1 and verses 3 to 10. It's headed "Spiritual Blessings in Christ." "Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For in our union with Christ, he has blessed us by giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. Even before the world was made, God had already chosen us to be his through our union with Christ, so that we would be holy and without fault before him. Because of his love, God had already decided that through Christ Jesus, he would make us his sons and daughters. This was his pleasure and purpose. Let us praise God for his glorious grace, for the free gift he gave us in his dear Son. For by the blood of Christ we are set free, that is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of God, which he gave us in such large measure. In all his wisdom and insight, God did what he had purposed and made known to us the secret plan he had already decided to complete by means of Christ. This plan, which God will complete when the time is right, is to bring all creation together, everything in heaven and on earth, with Christ as head. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us this morning. Lord, we pray for each one of us that you would open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds. Allow us to let your spirit move freely within us, and that you will speak clearly to us. Help us to be ready to be inspired, challenged, encouraged, and changed by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I love a good celebration. Whether it's a party, a meal out, an opportunity just to get dressed up in something nice, I love joining with people to celebrate. Now, I have to confess, there is a party going on this weekend in Venice that I would like to have been a part of. You obviously know whose party I mean. My invitation for Mr. Cleaney hasn't arrived yet. But if it had, you know you would have heard about it. How excited would I have been? And not only would I have jumped up and down and told you all about it, I would have sent my reply back the next day by recorded to delivery just to make sure it got there. And then I would have started talking to you all about my plans and preparations and what I needed to wear just to make sure that I could be the part. But even better than an invitation from George Clooney to Venice is the invitation that Jesus sets before us in this parable from Luke's Gospel. Parables are stories with intent, and they are the means that Jesus used most frequently to explain the kingdom of God and to show the character of God and the expectations that God has for humankind. So as we enter into our new series this morning on life in the kingdom, let's unpack this parable and discover more about the party of God and the God of the party and how he impacts our life today. I'd like to begin by looking at the setting. When Jesus told this story, he was at a meal in the home of one of the leading Pharisees. He had already challenged some of the guests not to choose the best places to sit. And he had challenged his host not to go about inviting his friends and his relatives to dinner, but to concentrate on inviting the poor, the lame, and other people who wouldn't be able to pay him back for his invitation. Now, it was after hearing this that one of the guests went on to say, "How happy are those who will sit down at the feast in the kingdom of God?" Now, I'm not sure what kind of response that man expected to receive from Jesus for that comment. Perhaps he was looking for some kind of affirmation that he, along with the other guests, would definitely be there. Maybe he was looking for a remark which would hasten the arrival of that great feast. Whatever his expectation, I doubt very much that he would have imagined Jesus going on to tell the story we've just heard. Because in many ways, that story threw all of his expectations upside down. Rather than affirming that the kingdom of God would be full of exactly the same kind of dinner guests that were present on that day, Jesus implied that those who thought they were guaranteed a place in God's kingdom shouldn't make such assumptions, because actually they may not be there after all. More than that, some people who would have been assumed to have been unwelcome would actually be present instead. So what was Jesus telling us about God, about his kingdom, about what he expects from us in this story? When I was at Spurgeon's College, one of our wonderful lecturers used to ask a question almost every week. At some point in the lecture, he would say, "What kind of God is this? What kind of God do we see through this event or meet in this encounter? What kind of God?" Above all, this story reveals to us what kind of God God is. He shows us his love, his abundant generosity, and his amazing grace that welcomes each one of us into his kingdom. We are being offered the opportunity to sit and share in the blessing of God. And this invitation is not because of anything that any one of us has done. It is purely because God loves us so much that he wants us to be there. We heard earlier from Paul's letter to the Ephesians how he was encouraging them to praise God for his glorious grace, for the free gift he gave us in his dear Son, and to thank God for blessing us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. That is the kind of God who invites us to share in his kingdom today. He is the ultimate party host. He wants to share with us all of the good things that he has created. He wants to welcome us into his kingdom forever. The grace of God welcomes us in. He is full of love and kindness, mercy and compassion, and his kingdom is a great place to be. Is that how you see God this morning? Do you see him as a God of love and generosity, a God of joy and creativity, a God who is awesome and wonderful, and who longs for you to be with him in his presence at his party? And so often the world portrays God as some kind of high and mighty judge who's just sitting there waiting to catch you out or punish you, who's trying to enforce his rules and regulations just so that he can spoil your fun. Now, if that's what people think God is like, it's no wonder they don't want anything to do with him. But that's not the image of God that we see in this story or that you meet through the Bible. Yes, it's true, there is an element of judgment that comes in this story because there are people who end up missing out on the feast. But without the concept of judgment, there would be no need for salvation. Without judgment, there could be no sense of justice. Grace is only grace if the outcome could have been something different. And it's because of the grace of God, because he gave us the gift of his Son, because his love for us is so deep, so strong, that his heart cries out for each one of us to accept his offer of salvation, to receive his forgiveness, and to respond to his invitation to enter the kingdom. The grace of God, this breathtaking, astonishing, caring, big-hearted, incredible, living God, welcomes you to share in his kingdom forever. But as Jesus' story reveals, the invitation is only the start. To be at the party, we each need to respond. In Jesus' story, the invitation to the feast had gone out to the people. And when the feast was ready, that's when he sent their servants to tell the guests, everything's ready, come to the feast. And that's when some of them started making excuses as to why they could no longer attend. One needed to look at his new field. One needed to check out his new oxen. One had just got married. Now, there was nothing wrong in any of those things in themselves. But Jesus' point was one of priority. The people making excuses were saying that ultimately they were preoccupied with their everyday lives, businesses, and relationships. They were saying that those things were actually more important to them than attending the feast. And when it comes to joining God's kingdom, there are no excuses. There can be no other priorities. The feast will still go on. And if we choose not to attend, then God will carry on without us, and we will be the ones that miss out. There are people today who make excuses not to accept God's invitation. Yes, the excuses are different. Sometimes people say, God is just for people who need a bit of a crutch. I'm okay. Sometimes people say, I want to take responsibility for my own life. I want to make my own decisions. Some people say, I live my life my way, and then right at the end, I'll come to God. Well, that's a very risky decision to take. But ultimately, what that response is saying is that I think I'm better than God. I don't need him now. And actually, God can wait. He can wait for me. I don't need him. Now, part of me feels that that kind of excuse is probably rooted in a wrong perception of who God is. Because when we begin to understand God to be the kind and generous and amazing God that we've just been talking about, why would you want to wait to accept his invitation? Why wouldn't you be rushing to say, yes, I want to be with you? God invites each one of us to embrace the offer of salvation. And that doesn't only start when we get to heaven. It is very much a part of our life here and now. So this morning, I want to encourage every one of you to respond to God's invitation, to accept his offer of salvation, to be a part of his kingdom. And if you're sitting there thinking, well, I'm not really sure what that means, why don't you come and see me afterwards and sign up for the Alpha course? It really is a great experience, and it will give you an opportunity to find out more and share your thoughts as well. As a church, we have said that we want to be a church that is passionate for God. Now, this is an ongoing thing. It doesn't just happen when we first accept God's invitation. Our passion for God, our worship for him, should grow throughout every aspect of our lives. Now, that sounds easy. It's great for us to say, yeah, we're a church that wants to be passionate for God. But sometimes that's harder to put into practice. When we face hassle and pain, difficulty, aggravations, loss, we can sometimes begin to lose that focus on God. When people let us down, when we're treated unfairly, when work is causing us stress, when there are things going on in our lives that we just can't get our heads around, and we struggle to find God in, well, then our perception of God can be affected. But be assured, God does not change. God is still the amazing God that we've already spoken about today. So I want to encourage you this morning, as we consider what it means to accept God's invitation, to also respond to God afresh, and to begin to rediscover how wonderful and faithful and loving and generous our God is. Why don't you commit this week to ask God to help you know him more, to be able to grasp more of his character, to be able to find him in the difficulties and the challenges and the pain of life, and allow that to impact your worship for him. See God afresh and allow the joy that he brings to change your life. Now, when we look at this story, we can't help but notice that God's invitation extends to people who originally would have been thought to be excluded. And of course, there is a challenge here about our attitudes to others. As we respond to the grace and the joy of God, we should become party hosts as well, extending that generosity and grace to everyone, showing compassion and love to those in need. You know, that's why we're looking at some of these things at Harvest today. We want to be able to see and consider the needs of others through the work of the food bank and WaterAid. We want to show compassion and generosity as we give and we help. But the key thing in this passage is actually not about making sure that we respond to others and making that the focus. The key thing is that it's the joy of God and our response to his grace that actually brings a change within us to enable us to be generous and compassionate. We don't want people to feel guilty, to feel like it's a chore, like I've got to go and find somebody who's in need because I have to do something because that's what God wants. It's not like that. We have to look at it up the other way, if you like. It's about allowing God's joy to transform us and change our lives so much that it enables us and empowers us to share God's invitation with others. I've told you how excited I would have been if I'd have got an invitation to Venice. But if God is the amazing God that we've talked about this morning, how can we not be excited by all he's done, by who he is, by all he continues to do in our lives? And how can we not want to tell people about that? As we celebrate God's goodness, as we live in his grace, the joy within us should become so evident that not only will we want to tell everyone about it, but that other people will feel so compelled they won't want to refuse that invitation. They will see the love, the care, the brilliance of God. They will want to be at his party and be a part of his kingdom. Tony Campolo tells a story of when he flew into Honolulu. And because of the time difference, he couldn't sleep. So at 3:30 in the morning, he went for a walk, looking for somewhere he might be able to get something to eat. After a while, he found an all-night diner, and he ordered a coffee and a donut. And as he sat in that diner, suddenly the door swung open, and in walked a group of prostitutes. They were boisterous and loud, and he tried to hurry his coffee so that he could leave quickly because he began to feel uncomfortable. But then he heard one of the women say, "Tomorrow's my birthday. I'm going to be 39. Her friend snapped back at her, "What do you want from me? A birthday party? Huh? You want me to get you a cake and sing happy birthday to you?" And the first lady replied, "Well, come on, why do you have to be so mean? I was just telling you. Why do you have to put me down? I don't want anything from you. I mean, why should you give me a birthday party? I've never had a birthday party in the whole of my life." When he heard that, Tony Campolo had an idea. He waited for the women to leave, and then he asked the owner of the diner if those women came in every night. The guy said they did, and then Tony confirmed, "That one on the right of me, does she definitely come in here every night?" "Yeah," the guy replied, "that's Agnes. She's here every night." "Why do you want to know?" "Because I heard that tomorrow is her birthday," Tony explained. "What do you think of us throwing a birthday party for her? Here, tomorrow night." Now, the owner of the diner thought this was a great idea. He said he'd make the cake, he'd get the candles, his wife would invite some people. So the following night at around 2:30, Tony arrived at the diner with a load of decorations, with signs that he'd made saying, "Happy birthday, Agnes." And they decorated the place, and by 3:15, the place was packed full of prostitutes waiting for Agnes to arrive. As usual, just after 3:30, the door swung open and Agnes and her friend walked in. Everyone shouted, "Happy birthday," and then proceeded to sing to her. And Agnes just stood there looking stunned. She began to shake. Tears filled her eyes. By the time they'd finished singing, she was crying so much she could hardly blow out the candles. They called out to her, "Cut the cake, Agnes, cut the cake." And she hesitated. Eventually, through her tears, she said, "Can I leave it a while?" "Sure," the owner of the diner said, "take it home if you want to." With that, her eyes shone bright. "Can I?" she said. "Can I really take it home?" And she picked it up and carried it out like it was the most priceless treasure. When she'd gone, the diner fell silent. And Tony Campolo suddenly said, "What do you say we pray?" And with that, he led the group in a prayer for Agnes, that her life would be changed and that God would be good to her. When he'd finished praying, the owner of the diner called out, "You never told me you were a preacher. What kind of church do you belong to?" Quick as a flash, Tony replied, "I belong to a church that throws birthday parties for prostitutes at 3:30 in the morning." "No, you don't," the guy replied. "There's no church like that. If there was, I'd join it." Is that true? Is there really no church like that? The story that Jesus told about the great feast reminds us that is exactly the kind of church Jesus wanted to create. Jesus was and is Lord of the party. The kingdom of God is a party. Don't miss out. Respond to God's invitation now. Take a fresh look at the God of grace and rediscover how amazing and generous and loving and kind God really is. What a privilege it is to know and be loved by such a wonderful God. Let me encourage you again. Why not this week concentrate on renewing your friendship with him? And ask him to help you to become overwhelmed with joy at his kingdom. And let that joy fuel your invitations to others so that they can share in the party of God too. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for your words to us this morning. We thank you so much for your invitation to us to join your kingdom, to see you, the wonder of your love, the power of your grace that we've already sung about. What a privilege, what an honor that you want to share these things with us. Lord, I pray this morning for those of us here who haven't yet accepted that invitation from you. Lord, please help us to have the courage to step forward, to discover more of who you are, and entrust our lives to you. I pray for those of us who have accepted that invitation, but who have found that our perception of you has been faded by the struggles that we've had to face in this world. Lord, help us to see you afresh. Give us a fresh glimpse of you and your glory and your goodness, and draw us closer to you. And Lord, for each of us, I pray that as we know you more, that we would worship you more, not just on a Sunday, but through the whole of our lives, and that your joy would fill us, that it would be bubbling over from inside of us, that we would be so excited that we would want to tell other people how wonderful it is to be a part of your kingdom, and that they might come and join in the feast too. In Jesus' name, amen.